three straight games consecutively in a row.
There you go.
They have scored shorthanded goals. Wednesday against Philly, and then this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, against Minnesota and Philly. Mark Giordano became the first Flames defenseman in team history to score shorthanded goals in consecutive games on Wednesday and Saturday. And this is starting to become a hallmark of the team. Welcome back to the program. He's Pinder. I'm Steinberg. Now Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us to complete the daily Calgary Flames roundtable. The Flames scored seven shorthanded goals all of last year. They've got nine through 34 this year. Willsey, why is this team as dangerous as they've been when down a man?
That's a good question. I haven't really thought about that. But, you know, Mark Giordano scoring shorthanded goals two consecutive games in a row and the team doing it three consecutive games in a row is quite an accomplishment. And I think it's probably just their depth and their skill level. They've got a lot of skilled players who go out there and kill penalties. A lot of teams will use their bottom six forwards, but the Flames use some of their top six forwards out there in the penalty kill. And, you know, Elias Lindholm, I think, is a great example of that. He's a smart player. He's a skilled player, so you can trust him defensively. But if you make a mistake while you're on the power play, he can get you offensively and score a shorthanded goal or set up one of his teammates. So I would probably think that'd be at the top of the list for me, but something I haven't really given a lot of thought to.
Look, they're going to bunch together like this. These are not, I would say they're lumpy. It's a group that's done really well. I expect they'll be near the top at the end of the year in shorthanded goals, but I'm not expecting them to finish with like 18 or 20 of them.
The Arizona Coyotes have 11. They lead the league, and I think like all of them came in the first 5 weeks
which
of the season.
Underscores my point.
But here's why I do think this team is dangerous shorthanded, and it's not just when they're scoring goals. We've seen them create opportunities on top of that. And Derek, I think it goes back to what you talked about. They use some of their best players, specifically Lindholm, Backlund, and their top defensemen killing penalties. And when you've got guys like Giordano and guys like Brody, Backlund, Lindholm killing penalties, these guys can damage it. If you get lazy on a power play, which is prone to happen, it's what happened on the shorthanded goal yesterday, for instance, this team will make you pay. So that's what it comes down to me. And same thing with the Giordano breakaway. That's a lazy play by Minnesota. Nice job by Jankowski. And then a great finish by Giordano. If you have top players on your penalty kill and you have got a good pressure-based system, you can make teams pay. That's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, I would agree. And I know that the penalty kill has been one of the team's Achilles heels, but if you were to subtract the number of shorthanded goals they've scored from the number of power play goals they've allowed, I think their penalty kill percentage suddenly looks a lot better. But I do know that's one area that the coaches still want to fine-tune things and get that penalty kill number up a little bit. But the shorthanded goals certainly help.
The penalty kill side of things has gotten better. I believe they've allowed just one power play goal in their last six games. Off the top of my head, I think that's correct, Willsey. So it's certainly,
yeah, I think that's right,
trending in the right direction in that regard. So that's a good sign as well. Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. He's Derek. He's Ryan. I'm Pat. Okay. So we know that the Flames are rolling right now, and we know we've talked all day, Derek, about, geez, this team can absolutely roll you over if you give them even the slightest inch of daylight. And right now, this team can run you over with five guys. It's Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm, Tkachuk, Giordano. These guys are out of their minds right now, and with those five guys, they can win games going away. My question here, and this is a good problem to have when talking about this as a concern. You've got these five guys who are playing lights-out hockey, but as we move forward, and especially as we look towards the postseason, knowing what happens in the playoffs and knowing how sometimes opposition teams can crack down on top players and make life difficult on them, does this team need to start establishing more dangerous depth for themselves, assuming that they're going to be in the postseason? That's one of my big question marks about this team heading into the second half of the season.
I also want to say it's a safe assumption.
That they're going to the playoffs?
You're rolling in the 95 to 99.9 sort of area there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unless they were to lose a bunch of their best players, I just can't see a scenario where the Flames don't get to the Stanley Cup playoffs this season. But stranger things have happened, so you hope that doesn't happen, and you hope they keep on rolling like they have been the first 34 games of the season. As far as depth scoring is concerned, I do think it's going to be important, and that's one of the areas that since the offseason, since the trade with the Hurricanes, and since Brad Treleving was active in free agency, we looked at this team and thought, you know what, this is a deeper group than they've had in a long time, and I still believe that it is, and that's despite the fact that they have leaned pretty heavily on their top players, both at forward and on defense to create offense. But, you know, to get a guy like James Neal going would so mean so much to this team. To get a guy like Sam Bennett going would mean so much to this team. And it would really put them in a position where they could attack you with three lines, even four lines on some nights, because their fourth line this season is certainly a lot more effective than their fourth line's been for a number of seasons. So, you know, they're going to get some good matchups because the top two or three lines are eating up the top minutes against the other team's best defensive players and their best offensive players, and that's going to leave the bottom six guys with some softer matchups. But I do think they're going to need some more depth scoring at some point in time, and I don't think it's going to be for a long period of time, but that top line is going to go into a little bit of a slump. It might be a game or two or three, and that might be it, because Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Elias Lindholm are just really, really good hockey players and, you know, getting better because they're still relatively young. But they're probably going to have a stretch of games where they're not producing. Even if they are creating chances, the goals will dry up for a little bit. So that's when you're going to have to lean on your depth scoring. And I think depth can come not just from your forward group, but I think it can come from your defense core as well. And that's been a real strength of the Flames this season.
I'm not as concerned about production from the bottom six so much as what are you building and what are the right parts and where do they go? Where does James Neal fit? Where does Sam Bennett fit? Where does Michael Frolik fit when he comes back? Who do you know, which center lines up with which wingers? You know, who are your extra forwards? Is it a Zarnik? Is Alan Quine a guy that hangs around? I mean, that's more the concern for me. I mean, if you've got five guys that are on a heater, and if your other guys can chip in at a reasonable rate for bottom six forwards, you're going to score a ton this year, which they have. But I'm more curious as to where all the puzzle pieces fit, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, with a guy like James Neal, fellas, he has to score to be effective because he's not doing a lot of other things to help you win hockey games. He's a goal scorer. That's what he's always been, and that's what he's always done, except for this season. He's got three goals and hasn't scored in 20 games. So he's a guy who has to score to be effective on a regular basis, in my opinion. And if Sam Bennett's going to be playing the right side of the second line, he has to produce more offensively, in my opinion. As far as the third and fourth lines are concerned, outside of Neal, assuming he's playing the bottom six role moving forward, I don't think you worry as much about the goals, assists, and points. But with that said, you'd also probably like to get a little bit more from Mark Jankowski. He's played primarily on the fourth line this season, but I could certainly see him, with the way he's been playing, moving up to the third line at some point in time, and again, getting some favorable matchups and hopefully taking advantage of those. And, you know, he's a guy who I really think could develop into this team's second line center at some point in time. But to be that guy, you're going to have to produce more offensively. And as a young guy, he's had some spurts here and there, but you want to see a bit more consistency from him in that regard.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, Pinder Steinberg and Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Flames from Dallas, where Calgary and the Stars will meet tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Final question. We're approaching the halfway mark. We're seven games away from halfway through the season. David Rittich is 11-3-1. He's got a .925 save percentage. Are we starting to move towards a consensus in net, at least with the three of us? Is it time to give David Rittich more of the ball and run with it? Less to do with investing in Mike Smith, less to do with how Mike Smith is played, and more to do with David Rittich looks like a number one goaltender right now. And I think that there comes a time when you're starting to get towards the end of December and into the new calendar year where you got to make a call and roll with the guy who gives you the best chance to win. I'm starting to move towards that. I think I'm pretty much there, Derek. Where are you when it comes to how Rittich, it's less about Smith and how Rittich gets used in the second half of the season?
I just think you take it one game at a time, honestly. I don't need to name a number one guy. He doesn't get a special hat or anything like that. There is no title on his jersey. I mean, whoever gets the starting goal, you want them to play well. And this isn't a David Rittich versus Mike Smith thing. You know, I think some fans want to make this situation this guy versus that guy thing, and I don't look at it that way. I think that both of these guys are going to be important for the Flames moving forward, and you play whoever gives you the best chance to win on any given night. And, you know, depending on the team, Mike Smith's ability to play the puck might give him a slight edge. But you know, David Riddick's done what goaltenders are supposed to do, and he's done a better job stopping pucks more regularly this season. So both guys bring different things to the table, and I don't think you have to pick one guy. I think you can ride them both, and I think right now it's a 1A, 1B, whereas at the start of the season it was clearly Smith was the number one guy and Riddick was the number two guy, but you never know what's going to happen. There could be an injury. One of these guys could go into a slump, but right now, the Flames are in a great spot. You know, David Riddick is amongst the league leaders in goals against average and save percentage, and he's got a great win-loss record, and I think he's a goaltender that just keeps getting better and better, and maybe the goaltender of the future for this team. But don't forget that Mike Smith has won his last six decisions as well. So Bill Peters is in a good spot right now because I think he can go to either guy and feel pretty comfortable that his team's got a pretty good chance to win.
Well, they got to pick one tomorrow. And here's what I would say. I think David Riddick has clearly given you a much better chance to win in all of his starts this year versus Mike Smith. So what's best for David Riddick when you look at the schedule heading into the holidays? They got three games left. One at Dallas tomorrow, at home to Tampa on Thursday, and then an afternoon game Saturday. How many games do you want Riddick to play? Which games do you want him in for? I'm not saying don't start Mike Smith, but what I'm saying is one guy has clearly played better than the other. So use that to determine who's going to start each game. What is it? What do I need for my one? What does my one need for rest? What does my one need for work? That's what I hope they're doing. I'm not convinced they're there yet, Derek, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they're there either. I do think if it were up to me, I would probably play Mike Smith tomorrow, and I would play David Riddick on Thursday against the league-leading Lightning. That's the way I'd go about it this week, but I guess they could go either way, and I wouldn't really be all up in arms if they started Riddick tomorrow and Smith on Thursday. But I know one thing. They don't want either guy sitting out for an extended period of time. And I do wonder about Mike Smith's health. Is he 100%? If he's not 100%, start Riddick tomorrow. It's an easy one for me. But if he is 100% and feels like he's good to go, then I would look at starting Smith against one of his former teams tomorrow, although another one of his former teams is on the Flames schedule Thursday, so I guess that doesn't matter much. But I would probably go Smith tomorrow if he feels up to it, and then Riddick on Thursday, and then take it from there.
The reason why I bring it up, Derek, is not because I think they need to, you know, give him a special jersey that says number one or anoint him publicly, or, you know, it's more just the usage, because I think at some point continuity is important here. And I think if Riddick continues to do what he's done and that remains the norm, then does that not give you the best chance to potentially win the Pacific Division or win the Western Conference? Like, at some point, I feel like you've got to invest in what's best for the team to win games on a nightly basis. And if that's Riddick, it's less about versus, it's less about Smith against Riddick, it's more just Riddick's been really good, and he deserves, it's about him earning these opportunities. Like, Mikko Koskinen has earned the opportunities in Edmonton by being the better guy. That's what it comes down to, because I think at some point you have to get away from a tandem and seeing what's going to happen and going day by day. That's where the conversation spawns from for me.
I don't necessarily agree. I think you can have a tandem and work it that way, whether one guy gets 50 starts and the other guy gets 32, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. Just, I think they're in a position right now where they can take it one game at a time. And right now they're worried about who's going to start against the Stars because the team had an off day today. We don't know who that guy is going to be, if it's going to be Riddick or if it's going to be Smith tomorrow night. But you know, people lose sight of the fact that the Flames are winning regardless of who's in net. They won six straight games that Mike Smith's been the deciding goaltender in. So, and it's not like he's going on there and losing every night, but I agree with you guys that Riddick has been the better of the two. But again, trying to balance the conversation out a little bit, they really like how Mike Smith plays the puck, and they feel like that feeds their transition game. And I think that's one of the reasons why they've given him a long leash this season and really worked hard to put him in a position to get his game back and his confidence back, is because they think that that's a huge asset. So, I mean, I'm getting really tired of the goaltending conversation, quite frankly. This team keeps winning games, and it feels like we're trying to create problems where there probably aren't problems, but I guess that's our job, isn't it?
Just conversation topics. It's what people, fans are talking about.
That's why they listen to Sports Talk Radio.
That's why we brought it up. So it's not to manufacture controversy. It's just more to underline what Riddick has done, and he's been really good of late, and now sits 11-3-1. All right, we will talk to you tomorrow from Dallas. Enjoy your night off in Texas.
Sounds good. And one last point. I'm pretty sure the Flames don't care what we think they should do with their goaltenders, because if they did, they probably would have gone in a different direction in a bunch of games this season. But I guess it's still a fun topic, or at least a topic for fans. So have a good night, guys.